Good evening there. I'm Bob, and you're watching the Designated Pundits. Let's get after it. Joined today by my co-host Scott Omer and special guest Russell McMurray. We're here to make picks. Week 12, match day 12, Major League Soccer is upon us, and we're here to take some of the best bets, best picks, and we're talking about some really interesting games, except one. I have actually a pick on the worst game of this slate, which I will not even be watching, but we have those kind of picks for us out there today. If you're watching the Designated Pundits, make sure you click that bell icon, subscribe. You can find us on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. No matter where you listen, you can find the Designated Pundits. Just search the Designated Pundits, because you can also find us on Twitter. So we hope you take the time to subscribe. That helps us so much, bring you great content each and every week. Russell, our first time crossing paths, and it's been a long time. You would have thought that like two major MLS podcasts would have crossed paths sometime in the past. Russell, let us know about your work and where we can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me personally on social media at Mr. Danger Russ, but you can find the actual podcasting that I do at MLS Now Podcast. I feel like we tweeted each other and have been following each other for seemingly a while. So similarly, I'm quite shocked that we've never actually been on each other's shows until now. So hopefully first of many.
Absolutely. So let's get right into the picks, because that's what we are here for today. Having some difficulties with my connection here, but here we go. First match is Atlanta hosting Minnesota United. Atlanta United -138 is the pick for me. Giakoumakis subbed in the 60th minute of last match in a 0-0 draw in Chicago. So I think that signals to me that he is ready for game fitness, and he is one of the few number nine game changers in Major League Soccer. We've seen what he can do. We've saw, you know, was it week three? He scored with his left, scored with his right, scored with his head. He is the triple threat for Atlanta United, and I think that they've been missing him a little bit, especially in that Chicago game. Come on, guys. Atlanta, 2 points per game at home this season, 2.03 points per game at home during last year. So I think at home, big advantage. Minnesota United, we do need to talk about them a little bit because they've been hot. But my opinion here is that Minnesota United are not as good as the numbers show that they are. They're not scoring by their center forward. Reynoso is out of town. It looks like his time at Minnesota is just about over. So Minnesota, they've been scoring in ways. Wingers, Longwane, I think he is the real deal. Aluisei, don't think he's the real deal, although he's been playing really well so far. Minnesota's found ways to get it done, but when you go into Atlanta, you're not going to beat them if you need to find a way to get it done. You need to go in with a plan, and for that reason, I'm taking Atlanta United -138.
Ooh, this is an interesting pick. And Russell, on our document that we kind of put together before this, you had a really interesting counterpoint, and I really, really liked it. You want to go through that?
Yeah, I appreciate Bob's discussion about players that are and are not the real deal. Here's someone who's the real deal for me, and this is why it's my counterpoint. Ramsey, the coach for Minnesota United, he's the real deal as a coach. He's come on, he's made effective changes in the lineup. He has shown that he can outcoach other coaches. I mean, he's outcoached Charlotte easily, outcoached Sporting Kansas City with Vermees. I mean, these are very good, strong results for a young coach. I think they've got a lot of momentum. And on top of that, last year, when all the Reynoso drama was unfolding, Minnesota somehow completely locked in, and they played even better than they did once Reynoso actually showed up. It felt like they actually took a step back. So all in all, like, to me, I think this is going to be a lot of soft factors, but I've got a lot of faith in Minnesota. And then just as a counterpoint, I agree with you, Giakoumakis, Bob, super dangerous. Almada is the other side of it, and he's not been super dangerous this season. And I don't know if just relying on one player to be dangerous convinces me that Atlanta's taking the win.
I hear you, but I'm just hearing in my head just echoing, he's due. Like, Diego Amada is class. The fact that he hasn't gotten it done yet, it is worrying. It is worrying because someone from that position, you need to go after it each and every single week. Scott, why don't you lay in here?
Okay, so I fundamentally agree with what you guys are saying. Russell, you wrote in your blurb on the doc about the difference between Ramsey and Gonzalo Pineda, the Atlanta coach. And I thought that was really interesting because you mentioned that Pineda relies on Giacomakis and Almada to just sort of get it done, right? And I think Brooks Lennon has like 3 assists on the season, so it's that kind of service from the right, the crosses. They do have that sort of identity, but it is all playing towards Giacomakis, and it is relying on him to really kind of make magic. This Minnesota team is getting it done in different ways, and it does feel like better coaching. It looks like better coaching. I think that sort of thing is really bears out when you look at the Atlanta underlying numbers. Once you take out Giacomakis, players who have more than one goal for Atlanta, it's two guys. It's TRA and it's Almada. Almada has 2 goals. One of them is a penalty, and TRA's got 3. And he went down with a hamstring injury, and he's questionable for this game. Anyway, so my thought is, if Giacomakis is not 100%, if he is well enough to play part of a game but not a whole game, if he's well enough to go but he's just not sharp or whatever, then Atlanta could really be facing an uphill battle. Their offense with Giacomakis is good, without him is so-so. Their defense is good enough, but Minnesota's offense is really good, and they do have players that can hurt you, and I think that their guys are better than the media would sometimes, you know. I think they just don't get the love. I'm not saying anybody's saying they're bad. They're not bad. But I think Ludd, I think Hwangwane, and I think Oluwase, like, I think those guys are legit. And so I can see Minnesota getting something from this game. And I have a hard time seeing Atlanta just, like, blowing Minnesota out, especially if Giacomakis isn't 100%. If he is 100%, like, okay, Atlanta's got the clear edge. If he's not 100%, I think this one's going to be really, really close. It could be like a 1-1 draw.
See, I was on your side there for a little bit until you mentioned, you know, if Giacomakis isn't there, because I bet against that when Giacomakis first get hurt and then Danny Rios came out and apparently he can play soccer still. We have to move on, and this was not a game that I bet on, but the LA Galaxy are not hosting the Seattle Sounders. Seattle Sounders are hosting the LA Galaxy. Don't mind that graphic there. Russell, you have a play in this match.
Yeah, so I'm pretty bullish on LA Galaxy away. I think there's good value there. I took this as LA Galaxy at +230 was my personal pick on this one. I've included it in a few other picks for myself as well this weekend. But, you know, I was looking at this and there's some recency concerns. Sure, you've got Seattle winning away in Philadelphia. But I will say that Seattle have been pretty dreadful defending set pieces from when I've watched them this year. LA Galaxy, they've been pretty clinical. They're not getting tons of set pieces, mind you, but they're being very efficient on them when they get them. I think they're averaging around like 4 or 5 corners per match. And then they've got free kicks in there as well. And Ricky Pooj is unbelievable on free kicks. I mean, you can't count him out of it.
He's
suspended for this game.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I guess that's fair. However, you know, you've got as well Paintsil, really, really dangerous on one side. You've got Peck on the other wing. Again, very dangerous. Where I have a little bit of pause is if Jovalich plays. If he plays, I'm extremely confident in Galaxy. He was out injured. I'm going to remain optimistic that he's coming back. I haven't seen an injury report saying he's out or in yet. But I think if Jovalich is back in and between those two wings, I just think it's going to be too much for Seattle to handle. I have no faith in that back line to be able to stop that sort of dynamic wing action on both sides coming in.
I'm 100% with you on this one. And I think the one reason that I didn't have a play here is because it seems like a trap pick. Like Vegas is really, really dangling that carrot in front of you on this one. Seattle just hasn't found a way to score. I mean, Jordan Morris put him on a milk carton, right? Pedro de la Vega was the lone addition that they brought in this offseason. He's done well. I mean, he's hurt. He literally has not done anything. Seattle also has a really good defense, though. So my questions here, watching LA Galaxy struggle so mightily last year with just a few things, Puig tried to put that game on his back, and it that didn't even work. He's not available for this match. So I love LA Galaxy this year. I think LA Galaxy should be one of the favorites to win MLS Cup. I really, really am that high on them, especially when they bring in a striker during the offseason. Although I love Jovalich, I think that he is probably the weak link just because everyone else is so good. They're getting Jalen Neal back. I think they're going to stop Seattle from scoring. My question is, are they going to score in Seattle on Seattle? Scott, let us know what you think.
That is my concern also. It's the fact that Puig is going to be gone, suspended, can't do anything about it. Jovalich is questionable. You know, if he is able to play, is he 100%? Time is a factor for him because he is the type of striker that needs a volume of chances. He's not clinical. He's a volume guy. And so if he's not playing huge minutes, is he going to miss the chance that he gets? That becomes a problem. My faith in Seattle's offense is non-existent. I just do not believe in them. I know they just put up three on Philadelphia, but Philadelphia's defense has some real issues this year. I don't like this game in general. I will watch this game. This will be super entertaining from a soccer perspective. But from like a pick perspective, there's a lot of things about this where I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this because a lot of different things could happen and there's too much just up in the air for me.
I think it's a great pick, but there's a reason it's not on my card because my trust isn't there. But if you, Russell, are reading this differently than we are, absolutely. Plus 230 on a significantly better team is silliness. And if the injuries weren't a factor, this is an away favorite minus 130 kind of situation, I feel. Yeah. So are the odds baked in? Yes. And I think that, Russell, that's what you're kind of jumping on, is that like the plus 230 is worth, you know, you're getting enough squeeze there, right?
Right. I've got a lot of faith in those wingers because I'm as much faith as I have in those wingers, I have even less faith in Seattle's back line this year.
You love wingers as much as Greg Vanney does, I guess, right?
Apparently.
Next match, we're going to talk about Charlotte hosting the Portland Timbers. My pick here is that I can't figure out what is going on. I think Portland is going to win this game. I think they're going to win pretty easily because of what we just saw Minnesota do to Charlotte. I don't think that Minnesota is great. I think that Charlotte's defense was that bad. They were ball watching, just watching guys walk all over them. And for that reason, my pick is going to be Portland over 1.5 goals at plus 162. Evander, still a question mark. We're going to find out Friday at 10:30 Eastern time whether or not he's going to be practicing what his situation is going to be for the match. But either way, Jonathan Rodriguez, an amazing talent. He's been doing very well this season. Felipe Mora, someone who I expected nothing from, has been one of the most efficient strikers in Major League Soccer. I think that Charlotte's going to do what they do in ball watch, and that defense is going to walk Portland, walk right in and score two goals. When I did my show earlier with BetUS, we all had a play on this, and it was Portland over two, the total over, Portland, both teams to score. Like, every way we can get invested in this game other than picking an outright winner, we were doing. And, I just really think that this is a really good value at plus 162 for Portland to score two goals. All Charlotte does is concede. All Portland does is score. I think that's a really good value for me.
Portland also concedes. They also concede goals in bunches. So for me, the thing I really like is just the over. If you want to go over like 2.5 goals, that's like minus 150. I was just going to look up the over for 3.5 right now, but that's 165. And I'm pretty sure that Portland has hit that in all five of their last five games. Yes, yes, yes. 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 Like that for me, that's it.
I agree. Charlotte
is, Charlotte's much better at home than they are away. They are probably going to get something. Portland is definitely going to score. They are definitely going to concede. Their backline is atrocious. Take the over.
Russell, any thoughts?
I fully agree with everything that both of you have said. This match terrifies me because Charlotte at home is such a wild card, and Portland is, like, you know, like Scott said, they give up goals like it's going out of style, but they also score goals like, you know, their lives depend on it. And, well, Phil Neville's might actually depend on it at this rate. Only other thing I'd want to add is maybe shots on target could be a value add here on a same game pick. The last five matches, Portland have had at minimum 4 shots on target. Every single one of those. I think there was one in there that they had 7 shots on target. So, I mean, potentially throwing 3.5 on target could be pretty safe in my mind.
Dropping one last dot on you. Charlotte is scoring 40% more at home than they are on the road so far this season, but their defense is only conceding 8% less. So time to get after that pick. Let's move on. And a game I really, really want to talk about. This game was so much fun when it was played earlier this year. Inter Miami hosting New York Red Bull. Red Bull hosted Inter Miami, was it week 2 or 3? And it was really like the homecoming, the opening for Red Bull, the time that everyone saw what I've been seeing all preseason, which is this team needs to be taken really seriously. And that was a 4-0 win. This time, Red Bull heads to Inter Miami. They have a lot of things they didn't have last time. They have Lionel Messi. You know, Lionel Messi. That's why my pick here, I don't care who wins. I do care who wins this game. I'm rooting for Red Bull. I'd like to beat Inter Miami twice in the same season. But my bet has nothing to do with that. It's over 2.5 goals and both teams to score at minus 110. You're getting almost even money on this. Miami has seen more scoring than any other team in Major League Soccer. 26 goals scored, 16 goals against. That is a lot of goals. That equals a lot of goals. 42 total in just about 10 matches. And Red Bull can score. They can score against anyone. They did not even have Emil Forsberg the first time, time these two teams played. So these offenses got a lot better, and neither defense improved. In fact, Red Bull's going to have Noah Ayla out on a red card suspension that he picked up at the end of this last match. While he didn't even start the last game against Inter Miami, he's one of those distributors. He's a modern player. He can play out the back. He can distribute the ball really well. I think Red Bull really would like to have him in this match. Instead, they go to Andre Reyes, the walking red card. So I like both teams to score. I don't think there's really a scenario where that doesn't happen. Miami can't shut out anyone. They're letting goals go. I think both teams to score have hit in almost every game they've played this season. I actually don't know of a single game where it hasn't hit. Red Bull's offense has been a little lackluster, but Inter Miami always gets teams juiced. This is the get right defense, as we would say in NFL. So over 2.5 goals, both teams to score at minus 110 on Inter Miami hosting the New York Red Bulls. And I know, Russell, I think you agreed with me on this one, right?
Yeah, everything about this pick speaks to me. I actually played around with the idea of a Luis Suarez anytime goal scorer on this. It raised the odds a little bit, but I'm not going to lie, it didn't raise them enough to where I felt confident taking that onto the card, which tells me that I think Vegas really likes Luis Suarez to score in this match. And I mean, he's been on golden boot pace in, I think, I don't know if it's a shock to you guys, but it's kind of a shock to me. I didn't think he was going to even be on the field for enough minutes to be on a golden boot pace. So
yeah. He's got those old knees, but you know what?
He's
class, and he's not a player who relied heavily on pace. He has enough size. He has enough skill shooting that he doesn't need to be the fastest player on the field. And hey, him and Messi don't need to track back. They don't need to play defense. He's going to be in the same spot on the field. So I think that all plays to Red Bull scoring, and that all plays to them finding the back of the net. Scott, where do you land on this?
Yes. Yes, that's where I land. Yes, I agree. I totally agree. The other thing that I would add is Inter Miami games tend to be shootouts. As you said, it equals a lot of goals. The over 2.5 is like minus 165 right now. It was a little different earlier. If you really want to go for like something a little more ambitious, the over 3.5 is plus 160. I think Red Bull's defense is too good for that, but The over 2.5 to me seems like something that could hit. I don't know if it, that might not be good enough odds to be made to be worth your while, but I do expect some goals in this game.
I think the last time over 3.5 didn't hit was 5 weeks ago when Inter Miami hosted NYCFC.
Yeah.
It's always in play with these two clubs.
Always in play. It's just New York lately hasn't been scoring a ton of goals, but this Miami defense is extremely suspect. So,
Russell, I think this one is one that we do not fully see eye to eye on. Orlando City hosting FC Cincinnati. Tell us your play and a good reason why we should take this bet.
Yeah, so I have been ribbing my co-host Gavin about this literally all week. I'm actually extremely confident in Cincinnati on the road. I see this as going one of two ways from a pick standpoint. Personally, I've taken this as Cincinnati on a money line at plus 230. I do see good value as well on Cincinnati win or draw, as well as Orlando under 1.5 goals. And I say that only because Cincinnati has probably one of the most stout defenses in the league. Orlando have been dreadful lately. I think there's been 3 matches this year where they've scored 2 or more goals. So put one of the best defenses in the league against one of the less performing offenses in the league, and I think at minimum, you're likely seeing like either a 1-1 draw or maybe even a 0-0 draw. From the Cincinnati side, they've been in unbelievable form since benching Bupenza. And there's been more news coming out on that. And I don't know if either of you saw the news that came out today.
Yes, he went through a CD bar and got clocked in the head. Now he's got a broken jaw. And this just adds to the list of issues he's had. He had the video over the summer. He's not allowed back in his home country. There's been issues up and down with him since he's been here. Coming back late every time he goes on international break. That won't be an issue anymore. But I mean, there are Cincinnati fans who are saying that they think this might be the end of the experiment with him because his old team couldn't sell him fast enough. And I just heard some really good reporting from, I forget what the woman's name is, Pelfer, I believe her last name is, saying Lauren. That people kept calling her all day, Lauren, and telling her how bad of a bar that was, like a CD place you never should have been. Listen, you're a professional soccer player. You don't need to be out 2 o'clock on a Monday night. They were reporting, oh, it's 2 o'clock, but they didn't practice that day. Yeah, but they practiced the next day. Like, you don't need to be out that time. It's not a weekend. Not good stuff for Cincinnati. Sorry, I'm going to let you finish.
Look, you're saying a lot of things that I think all of us are feeling here in the fan base. But here's the thing. When Bupenza was on the field this season, the attack struggled. It was a nightmare. I mean, we looked horrific. The second Bupenza was benched, and they got Kubo and they had Baird there. I mean, Kubo's been on a tear since coming back on. He's looked amazing back to goal. And then they just brought in and they have available for selection an actual target forward now that they lost in Brandon Vasquez and they're not replacing until now, what, 12 match days into the season. But point being, they're adding something that the system desperately needs. He's available for selection. Obinna Wobodo, who I argue is one of the best defensive midfielders in the league, is now looking back to 100% coming back from injury. Just this screams soft factor Cincinnati win, especially with Orlando giving up yet another late winner to Toronto of all teams. I mean, it's gone from bad to, you know, somehow even more bad in Orlando. And I don't think that they get over that in just 1 week.
Me and Scott were talking about how Orlando is one of the best teams on paper that isn't succeeding right now. And while they need a lot to prove a lot to be trusted, I'm like hesitant because I don't want to bet against them because if they go off and put it together, they can go off. Someone was asking me earlier this week when Luis Muriel was going to score his first goal. Is it this one? Scott?
No, you're absolutely right. Orlando is way too good of a team to be where they are. And one day they're going to put it together and they're just going to railroad somebody. The thing is that they're not right now, though, they're not doing anything well. They don't defend especially well. They don't play in the midfield especially well. They don't transition especially well. And they don't score goals especially well. Like Luis Muriel has done nothing for this group. And if they are lucky that Duncan Maguire is still on this team, frankly. So there's a part of me that is like, yes, Orlando, too good to be where they are, but I don't see it getting better. at least not in a hurry, because I just don't see any of the signs that things are being fixed. One day it'll come together for them. It could be this week, but I kind of don't think it'll be this week. I think that since he does have enough quality, they're playing at a really high level. I think they should win this game, but because it's a road game and because Orlando is so talented, for me, I'm kind of looking at like, yeah, FC Cincy to win or draw.
Muriel, Maguire, Baird, and Kubo. I mean, you can't find a bigger disparity in what's going on. And you can talk about Baird and Kubo playing really well. That's not sustainable. Kubo is not a number nine in this league. It's going to fall apart. I've been on this Cincinnati falling apart train for a very long time. They let a major striker go, and they never replaced him. I mean, that's it. That's it. If I told you at the beginning of the year, Yo-Yo Kubo is going to have to play striker for your team, I don't care which team in Major League Soccer, any of the 29 of them, you would say, ugh. So let's not pretend something magically changed because he scored a couple goals. I can't say good things about Cincinnati on my own podcast. I like the bet. I like where your head's at. Plus 239, you're actually getting 9 more points than what you put when you put this bet in. Like the pick, and we're just going to have to see. This is one of those like ugly games that I'm not going to be able to take my eyes off of this weekend. Speaking of ugly games I can't take my eye off of, Chicago hosting the New England Revolution. This does not have a spot on my TV. I don't care if I have picture-in-picture times 1,000. I would rather watch... I can't even think of something bad enough to compare to this match. And that's why my pick is going to be under 2.5 goals at plus 110 on Chicago versus the New England Revolution. This kind of has to do with math. I'm usually not the math guy. I like to talk about some insider information, some players matching up against each other, but this is just, it's gross. 16 total goals scored in 17 matches between the two of them. The math just adds up. Under 2.5 goals, plus 110. You're getting plus money on them scoring under what they've scored all season long. The defenses here have been inept, but they've played better teams. I don't think they're going to score against each other magically. Chicago Fire saw Shaqiri leave at the end of last match. We're not going to know about that injury probably until Friday night, maybe even Saturday, 5 minutes before game time. And, you know, when it goes to the New England side of the ball, we don't even know what their plan is. Is it Vrioni? Is he still a starter on this team? They're waiting for Carlos Hill to do something amazing. It's not going to be scoring 3 goals. So under 2.5 goals at plus 110, Chicago hosting New England Revolution. One of my top picks and one of my most confident picks of the week.
Yeah, this game, woof. I like the math on it. Yes, I don't really trust either of these teams to explode for goals. The only thing that gives me pause is that the Revs are a special brand of unpredictable right now. They could do kind of what they did against Miami, go out and score a really early one, and then completely implode and allow you to score 4. I don't really trust Chicago to go out and score goals. But I also don't trust the New England Revolution defense to play consistently enough to allow that not to happen, if that makes sense. They just...
The Revolution allowing 18 goals in 9 matches. So, yeah, 2 per game. I mean, yeah. I guess if you look at the defensive side, you can probably whittle the numbers somehow to make you think that there's value in taking the over here. Which side are you on, Russell?
I'm on the side of I wouldn't touch this match with a 10-foot stick. Now, I will say this match screams like 0-0 or 1-1 draw to me. I actually have a terrible Chicago sports betting curse. Every single sports bet I've ever put that involves a Chicago team of any kind, doesn't matter if it's the Cubs, Bears, Fire, like name your pick. Every single time I bet on a Chicago team, I lose that 100%. And for that, I will tell you, guarantee, I'm not betting on this match, so I'm not going to spoil anyone's picks on this, but it screams unwatchable, boring 0-0 or 1-1.
I feel bad for people who have to commentate that game or talk about it in any sense. Mm-hmm. Last pick here, NYCFC hosting the Colorado Rapids. My pick is actually going to be an away team pick, Rapids or draw at minus 106. This is the fifth game of a little five game homestand for NYCFC, and it's baseball, so we can actually call it that. However, it's played at Citi Field. NYCFC is actually pretty good at Citi Field, but the whole point is that they're playing five matches, like three in Yankee, two in Citi Field. It's been back and forth even when they're home. And in this one, I just think the opposition has the research. Chris Armas knows NYCFC from his time coaching Red Bull, and I think NYCFC have proven susceptible to the press. So I think it's going to be a system matchup here where the Colorado Rapids are going to come in with the one win. Colorado looking good this season, 4-3-3 with a 2-2-2 home record. And when it comes to, player injuries, unfortunately, we do have to talk about that for NYCFC because Tego Martins, their center back, looks to be out for this match. We're not going to know until 5 minutes before game time on Saturday. It looked like he had a very bad head injury in that match, so he's questionable. Maxi Morales looks to be making a return in this one. Either way, NYCFC has big holes on their roster. I don't think they're playing. They're scoring in auxiliary ways. I don't think they're playing their brand of soccer. I don't know what their goal on the field is. They're scoring with defensive midfielders, players who might not be contributors otherwise. And I mentioned this before, Bakrar, someone who I've just attacked on this show relentlessly. They had a special demonstration for him in the ninth minute of the game where the fans like cheered and yelled his number. Oh, number nine, it's his ninth game. He didn't score in his first nine games. He didn't score in his 10th game with all that fan support. I want to know when the wheels are going to fall off and they're actually going to go against him like I am in this matchup. NYCFC hosting the Rapids. Rapids just have too much value on the draw, minus 106. West Coast team coming East Coast. You know their condition because they play at altitude. They don't see each other very often. I think this actually might be one of the first time these two teams have ever played each other. It's going to be a rainy game. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be muddy out there. Or it's not going to be muddy because it's Citi Field. But anyway, NYCFC is going to lose this one. Rapids plus draw at minus 106 is my bet here.
I believe if FOTMOB is to be trusted, that this is the seventh time these teams have played. The Rapids have never won in this matchup. I don't think that has any bearing on this game.
No.
This game is at Citi Field, as you said. That is basically a neutral location. Take away all home advantage for NYCFC, just minus the travel, I guess. The thing that I am thinking of most with this is Colorado's defense. Not especially good this season. They've conceded 15 goals. They are as likely as anybody to give up something. If Bakrar is going to score, it might be this week. I don't think that'll be enough. I really am looking at like Mihailovic to run this game. I'm looking at Navarro to get something out of this game. I don't have a lot of faith in NYCFC. I do think Thiago Martins will not be playing just based off of what I saw with that head injury. He was out cold. I think it would probably be irresponsible. Taylor Twellman will definitely go on a rant if he plays. And so for me, that's just a leadership gap for this team. He's kind of the captain of this team. He's definitely the leader in the back. I just think that there is enough here for Colorado to take advantage of that, to kind of run this game, to attack that back line, and to get enough goals to take this.
Russell, thoughts? You're trying not to think about this game.
Yeah, I'm really trying not to think about this game. I think NYCFC have had a very good run of form recently, and I don't know how much longer that can continue because ultimately I don't rate Nick Cushing very high. And yeah, I just it's
Nick
really
Cushing
just
and
coming
Chris
down
Armas,
to that.
Everyone's two favorite MLS head coaches.
You can say like Yankee Stadium tax, right? In this case, like a Citi Field tax, and there's going to be differences to having to play on a smaller field with different dimensions and grass that was probably put down 3 days ago and wherever the infield is supposed to be. And that might cause people to slip and slide around, and it's going to be rainy. And like nothing about this match sounds like it's going to go to plan for either of these coaches. Colorado or draw is probably where my head would be at as well personally. And it's solely because I don't rate Nick Cushing.
Russell, yeah. Let us know one more time where we can find your work, buddy.
Yes, you can find the podcast that I'm on at MLS Now Podcast on basically all social media platforms. You can find me on select social media platforms at Mr. Danger Russ. Bob Scott, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on, especially on short notice to talk about these picks. Every single week we're doing it Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, where we're breaking down the best picks of the week. You can catch us Monday, 9:30 every week, where we talk about the previous week that happened. And if you want to hear me talk even more, Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern time, live with BetUS MLS. We're doing some great picks. We're all in plus money over there so far this season. So make sure you check that out. Thank you guys again for tuning into The Designated Pundits, and have a great weekend.